Tuesday, February 19th, 1989, 10 o'clock p.m., found the Reverend Joel Le Ouwehoek in his study at his desk, reading 1 Kings chapter 19, the office lit by a single reading lamp. Pastor L., as his parishioners called him, even in spite of his demands that they at least try to pronounce his difficult last name, but they resisted, breaking into squalls of giggles each time they tried to show him that proper respect. Pastor L. was not actually reading the text. His eyes looked at the words on the page, but they saw nothing. You see, at 4 o'clock earlier that day, he had paused. Even though tomorrow was Ash Wednesday and he had a sermon to prepare, he had paused. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty," Elijah had said to God. "The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Amen," thought Pastor L., "amen." And he sat there. He covered up his eyes because he thought he was going to cry. And the minutes turned into hours, and the light turned into darkness. The Reverend Joel Le Ouwehoek sat there, thinking how much the story of Elijah was very much like his own, the story of his own ministry at Mount Carmel Lutheran Church, Ashview, Illinois. "Watch out for old Walter Bazenkamp," old Walter Feakin had said. "He's a real sly one, I tell you. He controls this congregation and its money as though it were his own family." Old Walter Feakin was right. Who had fought the establishment of the preschool program from its very beginning? Walter Bazenkamp. And then when the preschool started to bring money into the congregation, who wanted more control over the preschool board? Walter Bazenkamp. Now when Pastor L. kicked Gretchen Sweet out of confirmation class because she had cursed at him, who wanted her confirmed anyway because she was somehow distantly kin to him? Walter Bazenkamp. Pastor L. was the sixth pastor at Mount Carmel Lutheran Church in 10 years because of Walter Bazenkamp. Pastors grew frustrated at his ability to crush evangelism programs, social programs, educational programs, youth programs, any kind of program that varied from the will and word of Walter Bazenkamp. They were mystified at his ability to somehow cast a spell over the entire congregation. He was not a pleasant fellow at all. No, indeed. They all knew that he was bent against any pastor doing any kind of change in any kind of way, but they bowed to his will anyway. And Pastor L. had suffered at Mount Carmel long enough to establish that preschool against the will of Walter Bazenkamp, and then to watch it flourish and grow, bringing money and families into the congregation, and then to witness the horror of a congregational meeting where they elected Teresa Sprague to the preschool board. Now, Teresa Sprague was a granddaughter of Walter Bazenkamp, and sure enough, within 6 months, the preschool board had disintegrated, leaving the preschool defunct. Pastor L. had found a confidence in old Walter Feakin just a little too late. The preschool had closed its doors just a few weeks before he said those words, "You watch out for old Walter Bazenkamp." And now, the Feakin family had grown up and moved away from Ashview, except for Kathy, who stayed behind, had gotten married, whereas the Bazenkamp family stayed put, living off the family farm, theirs growing larger and more profitable with each foreclosure of their neighbors' farms. It seemed everyone in the community was either related to the Bazenkamp family or indebted to the Bazenkamp family. Watch out, indeed. Pastor L. and Walter Feakin became fast friends, sharing a cup of coffee at the corner cafe nearly every day. And Pastor L. bore all these burdens with a noble spirit with help from the Lord for 2 years. And then he noticed that attendance was down. Death was frequent, and baptisms were as rare as hills. So he prayed in desperation out loud to the Lord God Almighty, "When will you remove the obstacle," meaning Walter Bazenkamp, "from my ministry?" And then he thought to himself, "Why did I ever want to become a pastor?" The sin was stalking. And then about a month beforehand, It looked like it was finally going to happen. Walter Bazenkamp had a massive heart attack. Finally, God was going to consume that altar with his fire. Finally, he was going to vindicate his prophet. Finally, the prophet of Baal was going to be exposed for who he was, a false prophet. Oh, there was no way that an 83-year-old man could survive such a massive heart attack. And Pastor L was dutiful in his ministry. And he preached the gospel to him. Remember where your mercy lay, Walter, in the cross of Christ, because he sure needed it. And Pastor L's heart was light. His heart was filled with a joy that comes from a freedom that was just about to be his. Oh, the impending death of Walter Bazenkamp filled him with delight and pleasure. They even put the do not resuscitate sign on him. But he hung on, and he kicked death around, and he put it off, and he put it off for about a month until finally, just this past Saturday, the phone rang early in the morning. "Pastor," said a female voice anxiously, "Walter just died." Now, Pastor L reached for his glasses and tried to wake himself up. He was trying to make himself aware of some kind of inconsistency. "Do what?" he asked. "Walter just died in his sleep." Now, the anxiety in her voice should have clued him in sooner, but it took him another moment before he asked in disbelief, "What? Oh, Pastor, just come by if you can." And she hung up the phone. The Reverend Joel Leeuwenhoek bolted out of bed, his conscience gnawing at him, because he, that woman's pastor, had been unable to offer her any comfort. Not because he was sleepy. Oh, no, his conscience would not allow him that. But because it was the wrong Walter. That anxious female voice belonged to Kathy Cartwright. That was Walter Feakin's only daughter. Walter Feakin had just died in his sleep, not Walter Bazenkamp. Pastor L was so shocked at the crass injustice of the whole affair that he'd been able only to react in disbelief. "What?" he had asked, and missed the chance to bring Kathy Cartwright back into congregational life. The sin was crouching. His conscience gnawed at him for a couple of days until the funeral. And then Walter Bazenkamp walked into the sanctuary, released from St. Catherine's Hospital only a few hours before. Walter Evan Feakin died at age 67, began Pastor L, reading the obituary, his mind swimming, his heart filled with rage at God. Because he'd raised the prophet of Baal from the dead and killed the wrong Walter. The sin had sprung and captured poor Pastor L. And there he sat that same day, 6 hours, pondering that same verse, sulking over 1 Kings 19. "What are you doing here, Pastor L? Don't you have a wife and children to go home to? Don't you have a sermon to write? After all, Lent begins tomorrow. I've worked very hard for you, Lord, but Mount Carmel Lutheran Church doesn't listen to a word I say. They stand in the way of my ministry. They ignore whatever I tell them to do. They live however they want. They've torn down your altar, abandoned your covenant, killed your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they want to kill me too. They wish I would resign. I wish I would resign. Oh, if only someone were there in the dark office with Pastor L to whisper into his ear, to uncover his eyes, just as we would wish that someone would whisper into our ear if we were to find ourselves in the same situation as Pastor L, as Pastor Elijah, as Pastor Anonymous, in some anonymous little Israel somewhere out there where our ministry is completely and totally wrong, when anything we manage to shove out of our puny little wills is smashed to bits by some heartless, godless patriarch. Someone to whisper, "Remember where your mercy lay, Pastor L, in the cross. Look at the cross." Now, needless to say, Pastor L did not look at the cross that evening because there was no one there to whisper into his ear. Besides, it was too dark to see the cross on his wall. Everything lay in shadows, everything that is, except for 1 Kings chapter 19, God's Word. And that's where the story ends for Pastor L, for Pastor Elijah, for Pastor Anonymous, for future Pastor Anonymous. Go back God said to Elijah, who still had his cloak covering his eyes, "Go back. I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him." God had 7,000 penitent sinners to serve, and no self-pitying pastor was going to stand in the way of that service. 7,001, if you count Elijah. 7,002, if you count Pastor L. 7,003, if you count me. More, if you count you. How many thousand? How many thousand did God reserve when he covered up his own eyes, ignoring the cries of the one, his one, hanging from the cross, dying? Now, Elijah did go back to Israel, and you will recall the marvelous deeds that took place so that God could reserve for himself his numbers. You will go back to your Israel to serve the numbers, yourself a number gifted to give. We'll go back and we'll watch the earthquakes, the firestorms, the windstorms, and the murmuring voices of God, who does things his way for his Israel with his servants, serving the servants, really uncovering their eyes with his words. And the story of God continues even for our dear Pastor L., who managed to finally read beyond those words, and he got up from his desk and left that dark cave of an office, a new man, a forgiven man. And he did serve the numbers there at Mount Carmel Lutheran Church. As a matter of fact, he performed 17 more baptisms and 24 more funerals, including, finally, old Walter Basenkamp's. He confirmed 24 more young people, and he received into membership 6 more adults, even though he watched total membership decline 2% each year. Now, why the numbers? Why the numbers, especially the ones that catalog the failure of Pastor L? In fact, Walter Basenkamp Jr. chided Pastor L in public at the farewell potluck dinner in late June when he finally took that call 3 years later. So Pastor L took him aside. And he said, "Walter, I checked the record. 5 years, 48 baptisms, 63 confirmed, 92 funerals, about 1,000 Lord's Suppers, and 1,000,000 Christian sermons. Those are the numbers that count, Walter Basenkamp Jr. Those are the numbers of God reserving for himself thousands here at this little tiny congregation." Now, I guess he could have been less angry. It was the gospel. And then the pastor, James Schmidt, was installed September 5th, 1992, and he immediately began to preach sermons, confirm people, consecrate the elements, teach confirmation class, etc., including visiting the sick and the shut-in and performing baptisms, consecrating the elements, the whole works. Now, Walter Jr. fought the reestablishment of the preschool board, and he lauded the decline of the numbers, but he couldn't stop the sermons. He couldn't stop the numbers from piling up against him. He couldn't stop God, whose numbers tell a fantastic story. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.